Yes, no. Fifteen stats.
Is the long praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your blessings. You have reigned upon our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your presence and power that is working in us, working with us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for glorifying your name in our lives. Thank you for giving us breakthroughs in difficult situations. Thank you for protecting us and preserving us from the attacks of the enemy. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit in us that is helping us to grow spiritually, even to grow higher in the knowledge of you. Experiential knowledge of you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for new things you have started to do in our lives. We thank you because you will continue to do those things until our lives attain perfection. I ask, O Lord, that as we would be having this class, Bible study class, in your presence, speak to every one of us in Jesus' name. Make us to understand your Bible even more than before in Jesus' name. Open our hearts to receive the understanding and the wisdom and the revelations that are inside your word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you're going to do all that we have asked. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. And we welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are still on our teaching that is titled The Christian's Relationship to Society. We are going to be moving to point number 7. We finished with point number 6. Yeah, which says the importance of an honest sincere example. That is the importance of a Christian being an honest example of Christ, being a sincere example. Just as Christ is honest, we also ought to be honest. Yeah, so that was point number six. So now we are looking at, and don't forget, under that point six, there are several points there. We have A, B, well, A, B, C, D, E. Yeah. So the last topic was E, point E. That is sixth he. Yeah, I don't want you to be confused. So now we are moving to seven. Point number seven. So which is the title is Work and Employment. You know, we are looking at Christian's relationship to society. Now, we want to consider how Christians ought to behave in their place of work, in wherever company or organization they have been employed. Yeah, so that is what we want to look at. So that is why I said point number seven says work and employment. Yeah, because under this, we'll be looking at several topics. Yeah, but those topics will be pointing towards towards what the attitude of Christians should be in their place of work, in wherever work they are doing. Yeah, whether it's the work of God, whether it's a secular job or a work inside the church. Yeah. We are going to now consider point A. Under this seven, now there is A. So you can call it seven A. And this point says, Christians are instructed to do honest work. Christians are instructed to do honest work. Some time ago we looked at what the word honest mean. What exactly does the word honest mean? So I want us to look at it again. So I'll look at the dictionary. I'll be telling you from the dictionary the meaning of the word honest. There are several meanings here. One of it says to be reliable, to be dependable, to be true. To be worthy of being depended on. Yeah, that is what it means to be honest. To be worthy of being depended on. So that is, you have this character that that makes you trustworthy. you know, such that people can trust you enough to depend on you, because they know that you can't fail. They know you can't betray them. You can't fail them. Yeah. That is what being honest means. Another meaning says guileless. To be free from guile. Now the word guile is the same with deceit. Yeah. Anyone that have guile is someone that is a deceiver. Anyone with guile, that is G-U-I-L-E, guile, is someone that is full of deceit, someone that tell lies, someone that deceives. Yeah, so an honest, or to be honest, is to be free from guile, to be free from deceit, meaning that you don't lie, whether in words or in actions. You know, people can lie even with their actions. It is not only in words that people can lie. So people can even lie in their actions. In fact, people can also lie in their dressing. Yeah. When you see someone who, I don't know, I think they call it cosmetic, or they call it makeup. Yeah, when someone, you know, paints is our face with different kind of materials, and then that thing changes the look of that person. That is deception. Yeah, because you don't actually look like that. Yeah. But you painted your face to look differently from the way you naturally look. So that is also deception. That is the lie. So it means you are telling lies with your appearance. Yeah, so even in our dressing, we can lie. Yeah, you know that you do not look like that. But then you put some things on yourself to look differently from the way you look naturally. So that is a lie. Yeah, but that is, by the way, what I'm saying is that an honest person is not a deceiver. So which implies that in your place of work as a Christian, wherever you're working, you must be honest. You must be true. You must be transparent. You must not deceive. Yeah. You must not deceive. You know, I said also that your actions can lie. You can also lie through your actions. Yeah. You can act in a way to show that you are, you can act in a way, even without saying anything, to give an impression that you have done something or you are in agreement with something, whereas deep down inside of you, you know you have not done that thing, and you know you do not agree with that thing. Maybe maybe your boss in your place of work said something, and he said he said, "I hope you have done those things I told you to do," and then you just smile and maybe you nod your head, you know, to show that, "Oh, I've done it," though you didn't say, "I have done it," but you give an expression that shows like you have done them, or you have an issue with your boss, and the boss asks you, "Are you okay with this thing that I am asking you to do?" And then you just smile, like, instead of you to really speak your mind and say, "Actually, this is what I think." I mean, you say, "I think this should not be like, I think this should not be done. I'm not really comfortable with this." So instead of you to really speak out and speak your mind, even if your boss would disagree, but at least you should speak your mind and let him know your own position concerning the matter. But you just gave an expression, or you just smile as though you agreed, whereas you did not agree. Yeah. So in our gesture or expression, maybe facial expression or whatever, we can also lie in that. Yeah, we can tell lies without speaking words. Yeah. We are still looking at the meaning of being honest. Yeah, I said is to be dependable, to be reliable, to be guileless. That is free from deceit, free from guile. Yeah, another meaning says to be without pretensions. That is, you are not pretending. You are not pretending to be what you are not, or to be something else. Another one says to be decent. Another one says to be characterized by integrity. So which means your yes is yes. You have integrity. Your yes is yes. And your no is no. So this, there are other definition of honest, of being honest. But I'm not going to be looking at them. Yeah, so let's move back to the topic. The topic says, Christians are instructed to do honest work. So which means, you're supposed to work in a way that your leader or your employer will be satisfied, because you have done the work honestly. Yeah, you have done what is expected. expected of you to do. Yeah. That is, you did the assignment, you did the work correctly. Exactly, in fact, even better than the way you have been asked to do it. And let us look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 28. Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. This is Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians, that let those among you who have been stealing, let them steal no more, but rather let them walk with their hand. Let him labor, walking with his hands. Let him labor, walking with his hands, the thing which is good. So let your work be good. Now, whatever you do, let it be good. So whether you're working in the secular space or you're working for the kingdom of God, let your work be good. Let your work be honest. Let your work be acceptable. Let us also look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 11 to 12. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without and that ye may have lack of nothing. Now this is Apostle Paul writing to the believers in Thessalonica, or to the Thessalonians, and he said that they should do their own business, that they should work with their hands, so that they would deal with others honestly. And so that they will lack nothing. Actually, if you are not working for God, if you are not a full-time minister of God, you have to do something. Christianity does not support laziness. So you have to work with your own hands. Because some Christians, they have become so lazy. And yet they are praying and they are saying, God, bless me. provide for me, make me prosper. They are praying for divine connection. They are praying for greatness, progress, but they are not doing anything. They are so lazy. They are not doing any work. How will their prayers be answered? So even God is not lazy. And God will never support laziness. Jesus said, He said, My Father has been working up to this moment, and I am working. So even God is always working. So if we want to move forward as Christians, we must walk. And whatever work we do, we must do it well. It must be a good work. It must be an honest work. So here, Apostle Paul was telling them that do your own business. Work with your own hands. So that you will lack nothing, because God is going to bless the work of your hands. And in so doing, you will lack nothing. But if you are not doing anything, when it comes to serving God, you are not serving God. That is, you are not working for God's kingdom. And then when it comes to business or employment, you're not doing anything about it. And then you're saying, God, please bless me, prosper me. That prayer might not be answered. Because you are confirming to God that you are very lazy. You're confirming to God and heaven and the angels that you are very lazy. So you have to do something. I pray that you will not be lazy. In Jesus' name. And I also pray that whatever work you're doing, you will do it with honest, you will do it with an honest heart. In the name of Jesus. Let us also look at Second Thessalonians 3 verse 10 to 12. Second Thessalonians 3 verse 10 to 12. Or even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not walk, neither should he eat. Let me take it again. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not walk, neither should he eat. That is, anyone that would not walk should not heed. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but are busy bodies. Verse 12. Now, them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they walk and eat their own bread. Praise the Lord. You know, I have seen some brethren, they try to abuse they try to abuse the love that we share in the body of Christ, the love that Christ taught us to have for one another. I've seen some people, they try to abuse that love. Now, this is what I'm saying. Because Christ has taught us to care for one another, that is, if you have something that your fellow brother or sister is lacking, you should share. You should share with that person what you have. Now, I realized or I discovered that some believer now begin to abuse that. Yeah. These believers, they have hands to walk. They are not paralyzed. They are not deformed. They have their two hands to walk. They have their legs to walk. Yeah, but they just sit down and they are depending on the food that the church or the ministry is going to share. Yeah, they just sit down doing nothing. And then they're expecting that last week the church distributed certain amount of money to those that don't have, to the poor. So they are saying, yes, we are waiting for the church to do the same thing this week. And then, you know, they are always waiting for food to be shared. That is an abuse of love. Yeah, and that is wrong. That is one of the reasons why Apostle Paul wrote this part of Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Yeah, because he was hearing news that some people chose to depend on others and they don't want to work, so they are expecting that the brethren will provide their food all the time. Now, I'm not saying we should not share with each other. Yeah, but we should not share with lazy Christians. Okay. I don't know if I'm getting my point. We should not share our food with lazy Christians. Now, Apostle Paul said, let me read it for you again. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not walk, neither should he eat. So no food for lazy Christians or lazy Christians. Yeah. So he said, if any man would not walk, he should not eat. Yeah, because those kind of people, they are abusing the love of Christ. Yeah, now, I understand that some people, they have excuses like, I want to work, but there is no There's no job employment. Yeah, that is a different thing. Yeah, you want to work, but there is no job offer, or you have applied for jobs, and you haven't been selected, or they keep denying you the job. That's a different situation. I don't know if you have met some people that they are actually doing nothing with their lives. And if you ask them, what are your plans? They will tell you, oh, I have great plans. I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm planning to get to this level. But they are doing nothing about the plans. Yeah, they are practically lazy. Yeah, so those type of people, the Bible says, they should not heed if they cannot walk. Yeah, I understand that. So there are people among us that God does not want to do secular work. I mean, there are people among the church, among Christians, that God does not want them to do secular jobs. God wants them to do his own work. Yeah. That is a different case. But let's say God has not actually called you, like, you, let's say God has not given you a specific assignment. Yeah, let them pray that way. And then you just don't do anything. Whereas there are opportunities to do things. Yeah. Even if it is a volunteer work, you should not be lazy as a Christian. Yeah, except you are doing personal fasting and prayers or personal Bible study. That is also a work. You are working to develop your spiritual life. That is also a work. Yeah, if you are spending time in God's presence, you are praying for people, praying for nations, praying for the body of Christ, praying for revival, praying for yourself, worshiping God, that is a work. Yeah, but there are people who are not doing any of these things. They are not doing some assignments for God in the church or in any ministry. They are not doing maybe any work to build their spiritual lives. They are not doing exercises in that area. And then they are not working for any employer or in any company or in any organization. They are just sitting down, wasting their time. So these people, they'll just sit down with the television or sit down with the phone and keep wasting their time, and they keep wasting their lives. The Bible teaches against such attitude. Yeah. Now, most times, many of such people, they get addicted with all forms of sinful things. Yeah, because when you are lazy, you are idle, Satan will come and visit you and start deceiving you, telling you to go into certain enjoyments or pleasures. And gradually you become addicted to the even if you happen to have, even if you happen to have rich parents, parents that are rich enough to take care of you, or you are in a country where they give you, you know, there are some countries where they give the citizens free cash, free money, free food. Yeah, they give the citizens many things for free. There are some countries like that. Even if you find yourself in such countries, make sure you are not lazy. Yeah, even if you feel like, I can always have food, I can always have money, so what should I work for? Work. I mean, find work to do. If you can't work for anyone, work for God. You can choose to work for God, even without God giving you a specific assignment to do for Him. You can choose to work for God. Go out and evangelize. Preach the gospel. Yeah, go and do volunteer work. Yeah, you don't have to work for money. Work. Do things that will bless others. Yeah, because if you don't, Satan is going to start using you. If you are lazy concerning good works, Satan will start using you. Satan will come to you and begin to take over your soul, and you'll be looking for ways to use you for his own kingdom. Yeah, because in that verse, Apostle Paul said, those people are busybodies. Yeah, in verse 11, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11, says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but are busybodies. So when you don't have the work you are doing, yeah, you start becoming busybodies. What does it mean to be busybodies? That is, you start doing things that will be affecting others that are busy with their homework. You start becoming busybodies in other people's matters, in the affairs of others. Yeah, there are some people that once they wake up in the morning, brush their teeth and eat breakfast, then they just leave the house and go to a friend's place, and they just sit down with a friend, and they and the friends will start to talk, and they can talk and talk. They would gossip and talk for hours. Yeah, they would talk for hours. And sometimes they will start spreading rumors. Because they don't have anything they are doing, so they start spreading rumors and lies and slander. So they will start saying, oh, do you know that brother? You know what I mean? They start spreading lies. Yeah. So we should not be like that. I pray that you will be wise. In Jesus' name. Let us also look at Titus. Titus chapter 3 verse 14. Titus 3:14. and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful, that they should maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. So what does that mean? It means they should be useful in the house of God. Yeah. Useful. Yeah. If you look at certain things in the house of God, and then you feel like I can be useful in this area. So you look at some areas in the work of God, in the work of the gospel, and then you feel like this area needs some work, and I can do that work. You feel like that area needs some work. Like you feel like some work needs to be done concerning this area, concerning that area in the house of God, or concerning the things of God. Yeah, you can volunteer, make yourself available, and say, I want to be useful for God in this aspect. Yeah, you can say, I want to be useful. I want to serve God in this aspect. You don't need anyone to come and drag you. You should be able to sit down and think deep and look at areas in the church or in the house of God that needs certain activities, and you should give yourself to do those activities. Yeah, so if you feel like you don't have what it takes to function in those areas, you can think of what you can do to support those that are currently functioning in those areas. Yeah, so we should make ourselves useful for God. Yeah, there are some of you that your deliverance is in the work of God, is in doing the work of God. That is where your deliverance is. That is where your breakthrough is. That is where your blessings are. So it is as you work for God that He will bless you and touch you and help you. So if you stop, or if you are not working for God, He will not do those things He has already attached to His work. So there are some blessings God have attached to His work. There are some deliverances, healings, breakthroughs that God attached to His work. So if you are not busy with His work, you will not get those blessings. So that is why you don't need to wait for the man of God or the pastor to tell you, why can't you start doing this for God? You need to look at the work of God and see where you can fit in to also serve in God's vineyard, in God's business. Yeah. And if you cannot starve, maybe you feel like you don't have what it takes to function well. Support those that are doing the work. Support them with prayers. Support them with your resources. Yeah. You know, so that you can be blessed. My pastor shared a story about a man whose child was sick unto death. The child was terribly sick, and he had tried all that he can, but nothing was changing. I mean, the child wasn't getting better. Yeah, the child wasn't getting healed. So he just left the child in the house. He went to church. He went to the church building, and then he went to help one of the doors in the church, because he was the one that bought that door for the church with his money. So he went to help that door of the church. And then he said, God, you know that I have been supporting your work. And I even bought this door for this church building. So he said, God, remember that I bought this door with my money for your house. Please remember this and heal my child. So he cried out bitterly, reminding God of his sacrifices. And after that, he left the church. By the time he would reach home, the child already recovered. In fact, it made the child hitting. The child that couldn't hit. Yeah. So why I'm saying this is that There is nothing you do for God that will not be rewarded. That has no reward. And you can even use your service in the house of God to challenge God in some terrible situations. Yeah, you can mention your devotion to God's work, your faithfulness to God's work, your commitment to God's work. You can use it to provoke heaven to respond in days of tribulations, in days of trouble. You can say, God, this is what I did for you. Please help me so that I will always continue to do this for you. And God will respond. So God cannot forget your labor of love. Yeah. But mind you, if the work you did for God, you did with the wrong motive, that work would bring you no reward. Yeah, the motive by which we do God's work is also very important. If you do God's work with a wrong motive, you will get no reward. Yeah. So before you go to God in prayer and start reminding Him of all that, all the sacrifices, everything you have done for Him, and that He should look upon you in His mercy and help you, you need to also think about how you did those work and sacrifices. With what heart did you do those works and sacrifices? With what motive? Yeah, because some people, they do whatever they are doing or have done for God with wrong motives. And that is why their works were not acceptable. And also some people, they did the work in a lazy way. They didn't do the work with the whole of their heart. Yeah. They didn't do the work of God with the whole of their heart. Some, they just do it for the sake of doing it. Yeah, so they feel like, if I don't do it now, somebody might complain. No, that is not how to do God's work. You have to bury yourself in the work. That is how to do God's work. You do it with your very life, such that it becomes part of your life. Yeah, Apostle Paul would say, night and day we labor. Yeah. He's always working night and day, not even in the day alone. He's always working even in the night. Yeah. So when you do the work of God, you do it with the whole of your heart. Not not by compulsion. Not because you feel compelled to do it. Or you feel like, if I don't do it now, the pastor might complain. Some people might ask, why is it that you don't do this? That is not how to do God's work. So, we need to do His work with absolute willingness, with complete willingness. Yeah, you need to be willing. Yeah. And you need to do it well. If your job is to clean the house of God, make sure you will make sure you sweep everywhere, mop everywhere, clean everywhere, to be very neat. Yeah. So when we do His work, we must do it well. You say that you are doing evangelism. How are you doing it? After you have preached to those people, do you still go back to check on them? Do you still go back to follow those people home, to check them, to encourage them, to teach them more of God's word, to disciple them? Or you just preach and preach and preach and then you go home? And then you say, Holy Spirit, continue from there. Holy Spirit knows His own job to do. You have to do your own job. Holy Spirit will not do your own job. Yeah, so the point is that when we do God's work, we have to do it correctly so that it will be acceptable in God's sight and so that it can produce the result it should produce and so that you can get your reward. If you just do it anyhow, you have just wasted your time. Yeah, have you even prayed and say, God, how can I do this work well enough? There are some people in the church that if they are going to get some money after doing a task, they would put all their efforts, all their energies into doing that task. Because they know at the end you get money. But if you ask them to do even the same task they would have done for money, if you ask them to do it in the church for free, it's either they would say they are not available, or they would just do it. They will just do it anyhow. Yeah, that is not how to serve God. Number one, you don't serve God because of the reward. Though you know that you will have your rewards, but don't serve God because of the rewards. Serve Him because you love Him and because you want to see souls saved. You want to see the lives of people get blessed. Yeah, so you don't do God's work because of money that will be given to you or some people will give to you. Yeah, that is not how to do God's work. Yeah, let me also put it this way. If, let's say, for instance, you are in the position of God, and then you have some people working for you, so you can ask yourself that if, for instance, I am God, and I have some people working for me, then you ask yourself, the way I have done God's work, if I am God, would I be pleased with it? Yeah. So if you can ask yourself that kind of question, maybe it will help you to be wise. Yeah, because the way some Christians do God's work, even they themselves know that this is not how I should do this thing. I'm not putting my best in this thing. I'm not really taking this thing serious. Even they themselves, they know. Yeah, and yet they expect that God will accept such work. Yeah, it is better that you are doing nothing for God than to do something and not do it well. I'm going to round off with this. Some years ago, I realized that a lot of churches, they want me to help them. That what I mean by help them is that they want me to minister in their churches. Like they want me to make myself available to do some preaching, some teaching, some prayer meetings, you know what I mean. So, they want me to, help in some areas. Yeah, they want me to function in some areas in their churches. Yeah, and then I realized that, if I start doing that, it would affect the result that should follow the work that I do for God. Yeah. Because there's no way I would, yeah, there's no way I would do the work well if I am so busy here and there. Yeah, somehow the works would not be done properly, because if I'm to do the work properly, I should not accept such invitations. If I am to do the work properly, I shouldn't accept invitations to come here, minister here, go there, minister there, come here, minister here. Yeah, I should not, because I believe that the work of God must be done well enough so that it can produce the result it should produce. So I had to turn down many of such offers. Yeah, because if I start to, if I start to minister in different places, there's no way I would do the work correctly. Yeah, because the commitment and devotion that each of the work require, I won't be able to give it that commitment. I mean, I won't be able to provide such commitment and to provide such time, because the work of God takes time. Yeah, and it also requires a lot of personal prayers. Yeah, so I have to I have to withdraw from those other engagements. Yeah, so that I can focus on a particular work of God, and so that I can do well in it. So, serving God demands that we do it well. So it's not about you trying to please some people. Yeah, and it's not about you trying to make yourself relevant and make yourself famous. No, it's about doing the work the way God wants it done. Yeah, because some people, they feel like because they are being invited by many churches. I have pastor friends that they are always busy because they are always being invited by many churches. So they are always working throughout the days in every week, from Monday to Sunday, they are always working. They invite them here, they go there, and they have their own personal ministries. But yet, they'll be moving from one place to another. They say they invite them here, they invite them there. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't honor invitations if you're a minister of God. But what I'm saying is that the work of God is not something you can just do it's not something you can just do anyhow. It demands focus, it demands time, it demands seriousness, it demands faithfulness, commitment, devotion. Yeah, because these people, they have their own personal ministries, and their work in their own church is lagging behind. The work in their own church, they have not even done it well. And yet they are moving to this church, going to that church, going to this one. And so they consider it to be progress. So after that time, after the time when I still communicate with those pastor friends of mine, they feel like I am lazy because I am not going every week ministering here. I'm not going everywhere to minister and then go to this other place, minister, and then go here and minister. So they feel like, because I'm not doing that, so they feel like maybe I don't even know how to do God's work, or maybe I'm lazy. Yeah, not knowing that they are the ones that are actually not doing the work well. Because I look at, if I'm going to do the work well, I'm not going to be going up and down. Yeah, because the work of God even demands a lot of prayers on your own hand. It demands a lot of personal prayers. Yeah, so you need to first of all have prayed enough before you just go and minister. How will your ministration produce success? When you have not even waited on God in the place of prayer to get a message from God, you have not waited in prayer, you have not fasted to get revelations from God, to get instructions from God concerning the people you want to minister to. Now, so many ministries, they are not actually doing the work the way it should be done. They are just doing it to please the people, or to kind of make themselves relevant, because they feel like if we are ministering every week, people will get to know them faster, and they are likely to get famous faster. Yeah, which of course is a lie. Yeah, you don't have to do that even for you to be famous. Yeah, so in conclusion, when you do God's work, do it well. Yeah, do it well. Even if you won't do much of it, even if it's just the little you are going to do, do it well. yeah, if God has given you an assignment, and God wants you to do that assignment very well, and then maybe you're already occupied with some other activities, why not go to God and say, God, should I leave these other activities? Because I want to do this assignment you have given me very well. Yeah, why not go to God and say, God, should I withdraw from all these other activities? I'm already entangled with or occupied with, so that I can do this one that you have given me very well. Yeah, because the work demands to be done correctly. I remember when I was in the nursing school, in the tertiary institution, I was attending two different Christian fellowships, and I was working in those two places. You know, these fellowship centers, they are like church. You can call it church. Yeah, so I was going to two different fellowships, and I was part of the workers there. So, but at the point I realized that I wasn't doing the work in those two places. I wasn't doing the work the way I should. So I had to withdraw from one fellowship so that I can do the work well in the other one. And God did not say don't, and God did not tell me not to withdraw. In fact, that was what God wanted me to do. Yeah. So it is wrong to just be doing all kinds of activities, and then you say you are serving God, whereas you are not doing any of them correctly. Because the work of God demands diligence, focus, commitment. It demands devotion. It demands consecration. And if we cannot give that to God's work 100%, it is better we don't do the work at home. I pray that the Lord will give you understanding concerning these things. If you have questions, you can ask on our group. Let us pray. Don't forget that the prophet says Christians are instructing to do honest work. Is the topic. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us how we should do your work and even the work we do in the secular platform. The work we do in our place of employment. Thank you for showing us that we should do those work correctly, honestly, and in a way that is acceptable. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to obey the truth you have revealed in this teaching. In the name of Jesus. every spirit of laziness that is affecting the way we love you, the way we walk. Lord, I ask that you arrest and destroy that spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of man pleasing, every spirit that wants you to please man, to walk to please man, or to please yourself and not to please God, I cast out that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that concerning the works of your hands, you will be found faithful in the name of Jesus. Concerning the work of your hands, you will be found trustworthy in the name of Jesus. I pray that every wrong motive in your heart towards the work of God, let the fire of the Holy Ghost uproot them now. In the name of Jesus, the grace to do anything for God with the right motive, from a right heart, receive the grace right now in the name of Jesus. The grace to do God's work without focusing on the rewards. The grace to do God's work because you love Him, and not because you are looking for some rewards. Receive that grace right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.